Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to first of all bring greetings from all the sisters and brothers of the Virginia Synod, 148 congregations and 8 institutions like Roanoke College and Southern Seminary. It's a joy and a privilege to be here. As you heard from Pastor David, this is a time of my lessening so that another might increase. And I want to give thanks for the election of Pastor Bob Humphrey, who now is our bishop-elect, who will begin September the 1st. He's going to be a terrific, terrific bishop. And we give thanks for the work of the Spirit in his election. So it's a privilege to be here and to be able to address our seniors as if this was kind of our graduation with some quilts this morning. I want to give great thanksgiving for Pastor David and for his presence here and his leadership for the life of Bethel, to give thanks for Heidi and Pastor Heidi and for her time with you, and also she's been doing work for me down in Tom's Brook and a variety of other places, and I certainly give thanks for her talents and gifts. We're so glad Brian was able to come and be a part of our Synod and the life of this congregation and the mighty work that he does. We give thanks for the staff here, for your vibrant mission, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And we give thanks especially this day for the staff of Caroline Furnace. We thank you for the gifts which you give of a whole summer to be with our young people. And we thank you so very much. So seniors, this is for you, my dear sisters and brothers. If you can, listen up for about 15 minutes. Don't look at your watch. Let me give you something first to stand on here and in college for the years to come. Here it is. I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of Mary, Son of the Father, is my Lord. At great cost, he has rescued me from real powers of sin, evil, and death. Not with silver and gold, but with his holy and precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. Here it comes. In order that I may be his and live under him. You remember that from the second article of the Creed in the Small Catechism. How about this from Romans 8? Listen, if God is for us, who then can be against us? He who did not withhold his only son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with his son then give us everything else? Who is going to bring a charge against you? God, who gave his son in your place, is the one who with the son died for you. Who's going to condemn you? It's Jesus Christ who died for you already, was raised for you, and is going to intercede for you. So then, what will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Now that is your foundation. I spent a summer in Norfolk when I was about your age on a rigging crew. And one of the things that we did in Tidewater, Virginia was a thing called pile driving, in which we took telephone poles set them up and then knocked them down into the ground to establish a foundation for buildings to be built on top of them. Telephone poles driven down through the sand, the mud, and the muck below the surface stuff until it would find a foundation down deep. 45 feet of pole through the sand of our existence to find rock. And in Tidewater, Virginia, you got to drive it down deep if you're going to build on a rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We're going to sing that during communion. Can I tell you about my rock? About the Son of Mary, about the rescuing Son of the Father who emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being found in human form. This human God who took our sin, death, and bound will and gave us his faithfulness, life, and the ability to see God as a loving heart in a happy exchange. His death for our life. his resurrection for your resurrection. Let me preach it. The rock became sand because the sand could not become rock. In Virginia Beach, the sand, mud, and muck just piles up, but there is a continental shelf undergirding it all. Sand is sand, but we so often forget the foundation underneath it, take it for granted. But sand ain't granite, and we ain't divine. Sand cannot fully comprehend or fathom the profoundness of what it rests upon, this continental shelf, except perhaps that its foundation is far more secure for living on it. Time and time again, humans like you and me try to cover the rock with their sand and call the sand rock. Maybe we call it sandstone. You remember the movie The American President? Now everybody over the age of 50 does. So I'm sorry. The American President, where the president says in that movie, people don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference. Luther pile-drived down through our sand to hit the rock. He said we were founded on rock. In his sermon, The Two Kinds of Righteousness, he talked about two kinds of righteousness. There's the human righteousness and there's divine righteousness, sand and granite, shifting and solid, temporary, lasting, one living out its life on top of the other. Two different kinds of foundation. And the human righteousness, he said, really wasn't a foundation at all. In his commentary on Galatians, he continued to speak about the kinds of human righteousness, but said that it's really all sand when you compare it with the rock of the divine love. He said, don't you dare build it on sand, even if it wins a Nobel Peace Prize among all us sand crabs. So in the midst of all our sand storms, sandy hooks, sand castles, always be ready to make your defense, seniors, to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the granite that is in you. Like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, you step off the chasm of tomorrow onto a continental shelf, a path we cannot see beneath us, but God is there, ever with, ever ahead. We know into whose hands all things will finally rest. So what could be a better way than to live one's life than upon that foundation? The measure of every human plan finds its truth by that rock of the cross that radically reveals all that misses the mark, all that is mortal and all that is temporary. It sweeps away the dust, and all the human plans perish with time. 18-year-old bishops go into the dust, announcing the weakness and foolishness of God in Christ on a cross, and that what will last is only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and what is resurrected in love. 'Cause sand ain't granite, and we ain't divine. Now, let me open your eyes. There was a man who had a warehouse, and in that warehouse, things were getting stolen, and he got frustrated with that. So he hired a man who had been a guard for 35 years, and he said, I want you to find out how my stuff's being taken out of my warehouse. So the man said, all right, we'll put a fence around the warehouse. I'll stand at a gate, and every person has to pass by me. And so that's what he did. He stood right at the gate, and all the people went by. And one of the persons that went by had a wheelbarrow, and in the wheelbarrow was this big box, gorgeous box, nice blue wrapping paper on it, silk kind of looking thing, and then a nice, beautiful blue bow. The guy said, whoa, what's in that box? And the man said, it's just dust. He said, open up that box. He said, no, really, it's dust. Open up that box. So he opened up the box, and he looked in there, and sure enough, it was sawdust. He said, all right, go ahead. Next day, the guy comes rolling out in the wheelbarrow. This time, he's got a green box with a beautiful green bow. The man says, whoa, what's in that box? He said, just sawdust. Open up that box. He opens up the box. This time, the guy puts his hands down in that sawdust. Still can't find anything. He said, all right, go ahead. The next day, the bike comes out. This time he has a red box in the wheelbarrow with a beautiful red bow. He says, whoa, stop right there. This time he's got a nice little baton kind of thing. And he goes down in there and looks in the corners and along the sides and everything else and still can't figure this out. Well, every day the man with the wheelbarrow comes out. This time it's a silver box with a silver bow. The next day it's a gold box with a gold bow. This goes on for 2 weeks. Finally, the guard is so frustrated, he says, look, if you'll just tell me how you're stealing, I know you're stealing. I've been doing this for 35 years. If you'll just tell me, then I promise I won't press charges. The man looked at him and said, I'm stealing wheelbarrows. See, the story only works if you find yourself fixated on the boxes and totally miss the value of the wheelbarrow. I've seen lots of beautiful boxes over the last 65 years of living. The life of faith is to open your eyes to what undergirds the boxes of our life, what carries us, what is deeper than the box that currently has all your attention. Because what if the box you're fixated on really is nothing but holding dust in the long run? Jesus taught a story about a mustard seed. Now, it wasn't nearly as good about a tomato plant coming out of nowhere. And, you know, I recognize this. But Jesus taught about a seed that became the largest of the bushes and said the birds willingly come and build their nests, place their nest eggs in its branches, where they're placing all the boxes of their life. This is a great day, seniors, to ask your parents about the wheelbarrow to their life. Who or what carries them? What truth bears them up? In 2001, I shadowed a senior chaplain who was a Lutheran Navy chaplain on the aircraft carrier, the George Washington, out in the Gulf Stream for 4 days. I watched that chaplain deliver dozens of Red Cross messages of joy and tragedy on 18 decks. And the chaplain, in all that time, the 4 days that I followed, spoke with sailors and officers all up and down those 18 decks. It was the same powerful message to every sailor on that aircraft carrier. The same message, basically, that Bethel has tried to say to you the last 18 years. The chaplain said to every sailor that they met, you matter. You matter to this ship. You matter to each other. You matter to God. You matter to me. This wheelbarrow, this house of God, this quilt testify to such a love for you. The best thing that man stealing wheelbarrows did for that guard, he opened his eyes. So seniors, today I'd ask you, who opened your eyes? Who opened your eyes in this church about the faith? Who should you be sure to thank today, to hunt down until you find them and personally thank them for the times they honored and respected you because they stopped to talk with you, teach you, walk with you, showed you mattered by your interest in you, by their presence and their time and their words and their prayers for you. You have a wheelbarrow here for life called the church that has a foundation for life called Jesus Christ. And we have a wheelbarrow and a foundation that just doesn't love you, but seniors loves your neighbor. There are real decks, you're gonna find out as you go to the universities and colleges. There are decks in our world, and there are decks within our own life. It's time for us to be brave on behalf of our neighbors. According to Peter Coy, writing in Bloomberg Businessweek, February 8th, 2017, the gap between blacks and whites in income is big, but nowhere near as big as the gap in wealth. The median white household has 13 times the amount of the average black family. For whites versus Latinos, the gap is 10 to 1. We've got decks in our society. According to Daniel Kurt, writing in Investopedia, July 20th, 2016, if you want to know if you're in the top 1% of the world, and I suspect you seniors headed off to the university would sure like to get in the top 1% of wealth and of income earners in the world, this is what you need to earn to be in the top 1% of income earners in the world: $32,400. In the United States, a family of four will cross the poverty line when they have an income of $36,000. We have got decks in our world. I was the firstborn of the family in terms of a firstborn son, and one day my mother gave me a 1-pound bag of M&Ms that I was to share with my younger brother and younger sister. You seniors have never had to do this, I know. Well, now, you see, with that pound bag of M&Ms, I was now in management. There were ways of distributing here now that I needed to think about. There were going to be decks in my way of distribution. Now I had become the steward of the mysteries of the M&Ms. Now I was the one who should certainly be well compensated for this position of power and oversight. And so I decided to distribute the M&Ms according to size, weight, age, responsibility level. I must confess to you, it never, ever dawned on me that my younger siblings would actually turn to the, well, shall we call her the wheelbarrow of the family, and with their paltry amount of M&Ms in their open hands said, "Here, here, look." Well, never did I anticipate the level of wrath that I saw in my mother's eyes as she turned to me. My loving mother of grace had suddenly become a wrath-filled mother, upset by the lack of sharing that had happened among all her children. That day I learned it certainly makes a very big difference if you know there is truly someone to whom you are accountable for the lives of all your sisters and brothers in this world, and the decks we create or sustain. It may be like having our eyes open that underneath the boxes that we fixate upon that are so wonderful in our station of life, that there truly is a wheelbarrow all along to whom we are accountable, a foundation of divine love that loves far more than just me or you. I pray for you a foundation and a wheelbarrow for your college life, even as I know you will find challenges to both of those in the next 4, 5, and 6 years. Our first lesson, what a lesson for a college student. The events in Elijah's life have blown his life apart. Let me tell you, the next 4, 5, 6 years, your life's going to be blown apart from time to time. Elijah's life is blown apart, and he's literally running for his life. He doesn't know what to do. So he runs to his wheelbarrow, Mount Horeb, and it isn't at all what he remembered it be. Though there is wind and fire and earthquake, God isn't in it, it seems to him. And here's where I love the Hebrew. It isn't that he hears a still, small voice. The Hebrew literally says, "And there was crushed silence." You see, Elijah in every way is totally crushed. There isn't some loud, booming voice. There is only deep, deep silence of the crushed. And then, but from where does it come? From above? From next to? Maybe as a foundation still there, even in the spiraling downfall. Suddenly, somewhere, Elijah told his generations after him, a voice said, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" Oh, Lord, it seems I'm the only one left in this world, and they're seeking my life to kill it. Elijah, get up. There's 7,000 at least in the wheelbarrow for you. Elijah, are you fleeing from what you should do? Get up. I'm with you. I'll be with you, even now in your grown-up life. Your foundation for whatever comes, whatever you face, nothing will separate you from my love. And right here and now, Jesus comes for you, seniors, comes to meet you. And what do we sing? I will come to you in the silence. Right here, I tell you, sand can hold granite. Beach can touch continental shelf. Human can cling to the divine that once again takes hold of you by your foundation, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. Most of the time, we're all like children who, with joy as the waters climb right up to our lips, finds the bottom to a pool with just the tip of our big toe. We find the firm foundation. And I'm telling you, college is a lot like that. And we who so often drink the sand can right here drink divine forgiveness and grace and the mystery of God given for you and you given for all. So let the quilt of this congregation warm you like your throat will be warmed by the wine. Let the quilt be a place you can sit in as a sign of the wheelbarrow right here that prays for your life, this wheelbarrow. And let it be a visible, joyous proclamation of all these people right here that agree that the foundation of our lives now and forever is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.